Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com with my very special guest joining us fresh from Green Wave Radio. It's Christopher Green. Chris, welcome to the program. Chris, are you there? Can anybody hear me? How very odd. Well, ironically enough, we've been having a few technical difficulties behind here in the scenes and what have you. We don't know exactly what's going on, but Chris, you're right here now, aren't you?
Hear me, Vinny.
Chris, yeah,
can you hear
man.
Me?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I was talking and I wasn't on mute. We must have just been having some technical difficulties there, but I am back, ready to rock. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's all sorted now. Come on, man. You, Chris, what I like about you is that you actually, you prepare stuff, unlike me, who just kind of does pretty much everything completely on the fly. But you've always got like articles and all of this other kind of stuff here. And we were talking about this zombie gun, which attacks the person's central nervous system. And I think, you know, I have a suspicion that this has been implemented large scale for quite some time.
Well, I think so. We were talking about Breitbart. You know, a lot of people think he was murdered. And the technology's, you know, it's out there. And so Americans need to remind themselves of that, people around the world. But yeah, this new gun, this is from, let me make sure we give this to the listeners, Mail Online. It says Putin targets foes with a zombie gun, which attacked victims' central nervous system. It could be used against Russia's enemies and perhaps its own dissidents. Ain't that great? It says mind-bending psychotronic guns can effectively turn people into zombies has been given the go-ahead by Russian president. The futuristic weapons which will attack the central nervous system of their victims are being developed by the country's scientists. Again, could be used against enemies, dissidents, during public protests. Supposedly, if you read the whole article, it can drive a victim. It can heat up their central nervous system to where you think you're on fire. So it almost can like fry your brain out, and it can also drive you to literal suicide. You'll kill yourself if shot by it. I'm not making this stuff up. I know it sounds crazy. Again, this is on Mail Online. It says Putin targets foes with zombie gun. Just Google it. Check it out. I mean, what are they going to come up with next, Vinny? I mean, don't we have enough ways that we can kill each other already?
You know what? I don't think that matters to them. I think what matters is kind of like, it's like in video games. After you finish playing the video game and all you've got left is, you know, just to replay the game or whatever, you try and make it a little bit interesting and you try to do things which make the game a little bit more fun amidst the slaughter and the bloodshed and what have you. And I think the opportunity of just pointing a gun at somebody and making them go would actually be quite fun.
Well, maybe for the guy shooting the gun. I don't know about the person. I mean, I don't know if you heard about. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about too. There was a story where pepper spray was used on a bunch of protesters in Santa Monica, California. I'm not sure if that was today or yesterday, but they were protesting something at the local university. And these cops just roll in now. I mean, they don't even think twice, dude. They just light you up. I mean, really? It's just it's what they do.
It's like, why don't the county police just employ a crop duster?
They probably will. Well, there isn't there some kind of new heat ray gun too that they've got there where they shine this light? It has like some kind of microwave technology on it, and they literally can shine it on a crowd, and you'll just run to flee for your life. Like all this technology, the drones. I don't know if you caught our show on Tuesday. I've seen drones. I've had a drone hovering in my neighborhood. For over
Holy
an hour.
Cow, man.
Yeah, so we've already seen them. I mean, they're scary. It is scary, but I had a caller call in on Tuesday. I'm not making this stuff up. A drone was following him in his car. Okay, I'm serious. He said cops were all around him, the drones above his car, and they literally followed him for like half an hour. Are you kidding me? This is America? The red, white, and blue land of freedom? It's insane.
Like a cop out there, man.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have those out in your neck of the woods yet. I mean, think about the implications, too, for like Hollywood. You know, you're going to have Rihanna or one of these people. Justin Bieber is going to be out on the street. There's going to be a drone flying over him 24/7 taking pictures. Think about it, dude. Those pictures are worth, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, to the, you know, whatever press grabs them and sells it to People magazine. So is this the kind of world that we're going to live in now? As much a drone's going to be our new best friend? I mean, Vinny, your show, as you get more popular, you could have a drone following you on a regular basis, just totally invading your privacy. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I could say this is a Vinny Eastwood show broadcasting live from the Aero drone.
Yeah, it'd be right next to you at all times. So you could broadcast 24/7, Vinny.
Oh, dude, seriously, I would love my own broadcast drone. That'd be fabulous, you know? I could just, like, get some guys from Anonymous to give me a hand. I'd be like, bro, can you just hack into this drone of me? You know, ask the Iranians. They know how to do it. Hack into this puppy here so we could broadcast the Vinny Eastwood show 24 hours a day, man. It'll be sweet ads. Because I know that these guys are never going to stop following me, all right?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, too, like, look at the internet. Look at, you know, this format. How do we combat the mainstream media? Well, we do it through new media. We do it through alternative media. So if they're launching drones against us, then I would suggest we need drones to launch against them. You know, I mean, that's how we combat it. So we could have Vinny Eastwood or alternative media drones, you know, following the stories. In fact, I'm going to put out a drone following the drones following us. So we've got another.
Yeah. Who drones the drones?
No idea. The aliens from outer space. It'll appear soon, too. As we've heard that, you know, some stories. Well, that's an interesting point. Now we're getting off topic, but aliens. Do you believe in aliens, Vinny? Do you think there's a likelihood that other life forms exist, you know, within our galaxy or maybe a galaxy beyond?
Well, I don't want to drone on about it, but I think that there's probably a good chance that there's life out there. And I've talked to many people who say that they've seen them, work with them or whatever the heck. So, you know, I'm pretty open to the possibility that we're not the only intelligent species in the entire gargantuan, never-ending universe.
Wait, so wait a minute, Vinny. You're telling me you're not the center of the universe. You know, I think a lot of scientists do. Even now, they say there's billions of galaxies. So there's, I believe, I don't know if it's tens of thousands. I think it's tens of thousands of planet Earths out there, supposedly, that could potentially hold life. Of course, they haven't proven this yet, but it's kind of an amazing picture.
Well, what's happening now is that they're actually starting to look at places all over the place, and it's got life. You know, they found trees on Mars, rivers on Mars. They found these bacteria on Titan. It's an ice planet. It's an ice moon of Jupiter. They found this bacteria in a salt lake or something like that right here on Earth, where part of the building blocks of its DNA is like arsenic. Okay, so there's even the possibilities, instead of people using carbon or whatever to base their life forms on, there's life forms based on arsenic, right? So, you know, there is life out there. There already is aliens by very definition. What people really want to wonder about is the intelligent life or whatever. And then you have a look at Mars, and it's like there's this massive Mars face, which is right next to this massive Mars pyramid, which is right next to this massive Mars ruins of all this old city and stuff like that, which were also modeled on stars, which existed about 11,000 years ago or something like that. So that civilization died out then, and it looks exactly like the kind of stuff that we've got going on in Egypt here. What if humans are everywhere? You know, what if there already is like this galactic human empire, except we've not been, you know, being caught wise to it? You know, I don't know. Apparently, there's some kind of Pleiadians, right? They're like these elven-type, you know, aliens. And then there's these little green men, as they say, you know, with the big black eyes, greys, as they call them. And What else? Oh, there was some kind of reptilian, of course, some kind of alien theorized. They're all over the place. You know, there's lots of different types that many people have given testimony about witnessing, being abducted by, and things of that nature. And what I found most interesting is looking into these alien stories is that some of these people suffer what's known as a sleep paralysis, where you're kind of awake, but you can't move, and you're like in bed sort of thing, and aliens come in and they have these horrible, horrible experiences. They torture them and do all this sort of stuff to them.
I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Fire in the Sky. It probably came out like 10 years ago or something. I remember watching that. It's scary. That's a scary movie. And that's based on a true story, supposedly. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you believe that or not, but...
Well, there's something like 20,000 recorded abductions in the United States every year. The rest of the world has like 3.
It's kind of amazing to think about, actually. So that's what the statistic is 20,000? Is that what you said?
Something ridiculous like that, eh?
Yeah, I wonder how many abductions the government commits every year. more than 20,000, I'm guessing? Or?
Goodness knows. Could be anything.
The question I wanted to ask...
Does that include abductions of people outside the United States by U.S. personnel?
I would say yes, if it's done by the government.
Oh, it could definitely be about a million or plus, you know, a week.
Yeah, I'm looking in our chat room. I think a few of them moved over to yours too, Vinny, but... Dr. Tool saying, you know, supposedly an underground base is in New Mexico. I mean, would it be interesting to be a fly on the wall to really see what's going on behind the scenes? I mean, I'd love to hear these conversations, not only about what's going on with, you know, the banking crisis and the debt crisis. I mean, God, it's got to be really interesting to hear what's going down in the very near future.
I really feel sorry for the elite, though, because when everything goes to hell, the last thing I'd want to do is be trapped underground with some of the most vicious, satanic, pedophile, lying, murdering thieves that the world has ever known in the dark.
Doesn't sound like a good time, Vinny. That's for sure.
Sounds like hell to me.
But if you've crossed over to the dark side, if that's what we want to call it, I mean, if you've crossed over to pure evil, whether or not you think that's Satan or not, or you've got another definition for it, isn't that just hell itself? I mean, people ask a question too sometimes. I mean, is you know, being here on planet Earth, could this be hell? You know, sometimes
do they drink Cristal champagne in hell? I don't think so.
Yeah, only the rappers in this country seem to like that stuff. I don't know. Cristal all the time. That's funny. I wanted to ask you, too, gas prices. What does that look like in New Zealand right now? Because gas prices are rising.
It sucks. It's so awful, man.
What's the cost per gallon right now? Any idea?
It's like $2.19 per liter. So you times that by 4. What was it? $8. And then you can't take it down. Yeah, so you'd be like about $5 a gallon.
Okay, so higher than here in the U.S. because we're about, I don't know, just under 4, somewhere around the 4 range. In fact, I was reading a report where CNBC, you know, our favorite mainstream propaganda network, saying that we're getting close to a peak in oil. That's total bullshit. We're not close to any kind of peak. I mean, especially if we take into consideration, again, that these wars are coming. I mean, any escalation in Iran... oil prices easily touch $5-6 a gallon, which will it'll be a big deal here in the US of A. Another reason why the sheep are going to jump on the bandwagon of war. Got to go kill those people over there, Vinny. Our oil prices are too high.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at it this way. Oil is virtually infinite, okay? Go and research it. Why do they call it fossil fuels? Because some douchebag, literally... postulated that because they found some animal bones and leaves and sticks and stuff like that in the La Brea tar pits in Los Angeles. You ever heard of these, Chris?
I have. I'm from Orange County. I've been to the Brea tar pits before.
Okay.
I've
seen it. Yeah. Because they saw that stuff in there, they then said, okay, the oil must be made from all that organic decaying stuff. So like animal bones, dinosaurs, blah, 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 blah. Right? It's the same principle as looking at a vodka martini that's got olives in it and saying, look, this vodka martini surely must be made out of olives because it's got olives in it. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
And that's not what it is either. It keeps refreshing and replenishing itself and coming back up. Back in the 70s, the oil price shock when the Texans closed off all their wells, allegedly, they closed them all off and then they came back later, you know, decades or so later, and they were full of oil again. It was unbelievable. Heaps of it.
Yeah,
and
well, we've
the
got
Russians,
cars.
The Russians have been doing deep drilling, deep core drilling, it's called. And normal drilling is like 10,000 feet, you know, 30,000 feet. Russians were drilling down to like 60, 70,000 feet, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And they found like oceans of oil. Oceans of oil underneath the earth.
I'm right here. One of our subscribers is saying, because in Phoenix, we're about $4 a gallon, but Dr. Tool's saying in a suburb of Chicago, it's $4.50 for the regulars, for the cheap regular stuff. So, I mean, I've read it's as high as $5 already in some parts of the country, if not higher. That's a big deal. I mean, when it costs the fuel-efficient car $100 or more at the pump to fill up, you know, we got some serious problems, especially in this economy. You know, I've even heard people say some of them are staying home and quitting their jobs because it's too expensive to keep their job.
We'll be right back.
Sean David Morton here to tell all of my fantastic fans and friends about one of the greatest conference gatherings of all time of your favorite New Age, New Thought, and radio personalities. The Alchemy Event, starting at 8:30 a.m., April 28th to Sunday, April 29th. Come to the Alchemy Event in West Los Angeles. Or if you can't join us all in person, you can have the fantastic opportunity to watch it on Global Stream Live online for a celebration of global peace and transformation, ET disclosure, prophecy, earth changes, ufology, metaphysics, consciousness, healing, and meditation. Join me for lunch with special guests Coast to Coast George Norrie, Project Camelot's Carrie Cassidy, Dr. Roger Lear, Michael Hercules Barra, Saeed David Farman, Dr. Louis Tyree, Sudi Burnett, and many, many more. Tickets on sale now. Register online at alchemyevent.com or click on AFR's homepage. That's alchemyevent.com. The Alchemy Event in Los Angeles, California, April 28th and 29th. Don't you dare miss it. See you there.
Indigro is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigro lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigro lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigro lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigro lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigro not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigro products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigro lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-gro.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigro really is your sunlight in a box.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
So
CrisisAmerica.com reports gold prices dip below $1,625 Wednesday on profit-taking, firmer dollar. Gold last traded at $1,620 an ounce, silver $31.36. Gold advocate and mining entrepreneur Jim Sinclair tonight tells King World News that gold is becoming an ever-tightly coiled spring, that its snapping release will be wondrous. Truth is, a growing number of analysts, investment, and hedge fund managers, commentators, and other financial markets are now coming to the same conclusion. Gold and silver markets are being suppressed by the government. This, of course, is what GATA organization has said now for well over a decade. The best place to review the scorecard of experts that come to this conclusion is to visit GATA.org. So how much of a drop in the stock market will it take before the central bank comes to the rescue? Ask CNBC. And the world goes round. Get more at SwissAmerica.com and the hidden risks of ETFs. Get your Vote Gold 2012 kit. Call 800-289-2646 at SwissAmerica.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all get, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so, so where do you ever stand?
They pay welcome the back.
Off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about Johnny Appleseed. Christopher Green over here.
What's up, Vin? Huh. Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I have some very sad news. Wait a second. We're getting a little bit of feedback here. There. Well, I don't know where that's coming from. But anyway, the bad news is it's Easter weekend already in New Zealand. You know, as I'm broadcasting right now, we've already gone into the long weekend. And you know how many people are able to do the great old Kiwi road trip and go away for the weekend with their families? Only the rich. Nobody else can afford it anymore. Gas too expensive. Too expensive. You know, we can no longer go away on holiday for long weekends anymore. It's too expensive. We have to stay where we are, cooped up. And it's really quite tragic. Because I think that's part of growing up and experiencing the world is to travel to all different places and that kind of stuff. But now we can't afford it. Is it? And it's the same everywhere now, isn't it? How many people in America are planning to stay home this Easter weekend?
A lot. I mean, a lot more people are thinking that way. I mean, that's the truth. It's, I mean, we are in very tough economic conditions right now, Vinny. This is no different than what we had during the 1930s. No different. The only difference is we've had a stock market rally on inflation. That's it. You know, thank QE for that. Thank quantitative easing. Thank your leadership for war. I mean, that's what I was talking about earlier today in our video before I promoed you coming on our show. But yeah, it's tragic. People are hurting in America. I mean, is this the American dream, Vinny? Is this what it's supposedly all about? Because it doesn't really look that bright for a lot of people. Sad.
You got to be asleep to believe it, as George Carlin says. It's a huge illusion, and I think what's happened is whenever you want to scam somebody, you have to come up with something that they'll like, you know, something that they can visualize really easily. And so the simple American dream was just being able to, you know, do whatever you want and have some fun, have your own car, have your own house, have your family, nice hardwood floor, that kind of thing. Yeah. But you recognize that when you work hard, you don't get rich, your boss does. And then the rest of the money that you earn gets taken away by taxation. This is not America. This is like full-on socialism.
Well, if you
of the worst kind.
Yeah. Look at Greece.
But socialism from above and below is the interesting thing. You've got the government below you who are supposed to be your servants, and you've got the wealthy elite above you, and they both tax you from both ends, from above and below.
Yeah, it's a lot of taxation. I mean, look at Greece with the austerity they're pushing over there. I mean, if every dollar you make, you've got 80% going out the door to cover programs that are going to default anyhow. I mean, why do you think there's riots in the streets? Makes perfect sense. I mean, or why would you stay in Greece? If you were smart, if you're the youth, you're trying to get the hell out of there. And it's a predicament. It's what the country's turning into here. I mean,
Where can they go, though, Chris? Where can they go? Seriously. There's nowhere. Everywhere's defunct. Nobody's economics are in terribly good shape. It's not like there's anywhere to escape to, you know. And it's like when you realize that your fight or flight mechanism and flight's not really an option, you got to fight, don't you?
Well, you got to fight. I would also argue things are changing. I mean, I would argue, do we even need a government anymore in its current form? We govern ourselves.
With the internet, it's entirely possible to completely eliminate government altogether, cut out the middleman. Because what's happening now is people are organizing in large social networks online, and they're becoming great at advocacy in terms of even policy decisions and crafting documents and whatnot. Teams of people can get together, and others who are viewing the website can actually like or dislike or make suggestions and that kind of thing. So it becomes a collaborative effort, and you wind up with your own legislation sort of thing. That's how the internet's sort of working. But of course, in order to implement these things, we no longer need a government either, because you can just spread ideas around online and people can either vibe to it or not. You know, a free society is one where it's about how people are influenced into doing things, not how people are coerced into doing things or manipulated into doing things. If you want to implement a policy, you've got to make sure that it doesn't really do damage to people, man. You know, least of all, turns a country into slaves to foreign bankers.
Well, isn't that just capitalism? I mean, why can't there be competing governments? Why couldn't we build competing governments online, let the people vote which one they want to participate in? I mean, I don't know if you've ever looked into seasteading before. I've talked about this on a show in the past where basically they're building structures on the coast of Northern California, you know, out near San Francisco, where they're basically, it's experimental technology where you can form your own community on a seastead out in the water. And so you can actually have competing government systems out there. Why can't we do that on the internet? In fact, they tell us all the time that things like anarchy don't work, or socialism doesn't work, or communism doesn't work. Well, let's try it out. I mean, let's see. I don't know. We've never seen it in action. I mean, I think in a truly capitalist system, we should have the right and the choice to pick which government we want to take part in. You know, if they tell us that we can't do that, what is that? That's tyranny if we don't have a choice.
Yeah. It's like the whole argument of, hey, taxes are voluntary. Really? What happens when I don't pay them? Well, we kill you. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, for example, Vinny, why do you even have to participate in your government? Let's say, you know, you don't like what New Zealand's doing. I mean, you've got an internet-based business. You don't have to domicile it in New Zealand. You could be anywhere in the world. We could make a new country and we could put it there. Why do you even have to participate in the system anymore? Is, I think, well, the question then, a lot of people are asking.
Because then I'd have to set up a new country, and also I'd have to have an enormous defense budget.
good point. What if you had people supporting the new concept, though? What if you did have the budget?
Let's start right now, okay? If anybody wants to supply arms to the Vinny Eastwood Show in the forms of Abrams tanks and drone and strike aircraft, complete with Hellfire missiles, please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and contact us. We will be there to take your requests and your donations so we can set up our own state with the firepower to defend itself from all the world's eclectic scumbaggery. And we will have zombie guns too.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, the lines are blurring. It's blurring, you know, if you're looking at it from a country perspective. It's blurring if you're looking at a banking perspective. I mean, it's obviously illegal to deal with any other currency outside of the U.S. dollar in our country. But why can't there be competing currencies? Why can't I just invent a currency right now and call it green wave currency? If the market wants to trade in that currency, let them. If they decide to trust it more than, let's say, the dollar or another currency, then let that be the case. That's called competition. That's called capitalism. We don't have that at all. We have
Chris, I think you've actually got this down to a brilliant idea. Capitalism as a solution for government agencies. Like, let's say, for instance, you've got a government agency like the Department of Works or whatever. What if somebody can actually do it cheaper? Because the problem is what they're doing now is they're getting private contractors in who charge twice as much as what in-house services costs. They've cornered the market on contracts as well. So it's all sweetheart buddy-buddy deals. But if there was allowed some actual competition into the market, they say that they're going to open it up to privatization for the sake of competition, but it's not. They're opening it up for the sake of monopolization and corporatization, not competition. Competition's gone out of the world. You know, there is no capitalism or competition left in this world, basically, because as soon as you get to the point where you're capable of competing at a higher level, you get a few knocks on the door and they say, you either join us or you die.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you look at our currency, you know, right now, and you look at the reason for these invasions overseas, you know, Iraq, Saddam Hussein, he was getting off the petrodollar. So we go in, we take the country out. Same thing with Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, he's going to move off the petrodollar relationship. We go in, we assassinate him. Same thing here with Iran. We've implemented sanctions against their central bank due in July. We're going to go in there too, and we're going to attack. So there really isn't any real competition. They say we've got the competition. They say things like we've got, you know, liberty and freedom and constitutional rights. Well, they say we do, but until we exercise those rights and we exercise our supposed liberty, then you see we don't. And that's what I think people need to do is, hey, if our system's so great here in the United States of America, if we really are the pillar of light and freedom, then fine. Let's put it to the test. Start marching in the streets and see what happens. Start asking for these politicians and bankers to go to jail, to be prosecuted for their crimes in a court of law. If we do that, we ask that hard question and we push for that, and what they do instead is throw us in jail and take away our freedoms, which is what's happening today. We're seeing the real cards of our government, the real cards of our system. It's all been a lie. It's all been an illusion. So I think we have to almost prove the point through action and working within the system itself to prove that the system is erroneous, that we don't have a system. We have a corrupt system. We have a system based on tyranny and fear is what I would argue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that we should be you use the word ask the government and all of that kind of thing. I think you can ask other people, you know, just individuals to do stuff for you, and they can either say yes or no. But with the government, I don't believe that they have a choice, that they have to do what the people say. So in that case, you tell them or you order them or you say that it is the will of the people for you to do such and such. Mm. And people, I think, have forgotten that fundamental principle. They don't see their politicians as their servants. They see them as their leaders. They don't see them as they should be seeing them. They don't have these one-hit wonder politicians, right? There's all these old boys network in there, and they've been cruising through it for goodness knows how long, doing bugger all of interest or work or benefit to the country, misleading everybody every single time they're stupid enough to vote for them again. And people are still starting to wonder, how come I can't fill my car with gas and go away for the weekend? Because it's the banksters. How come I'm broke and I can't pay my bills? It's the banksters. How come the food prices are going out of control? It's the banksters. It's everything. These people, they are fit at the very root of it, because everything that costs money is controlled by them. Okay? That's how they control you.
Yeah, I think that's, you portrayed that perfectly. I mean, that is the truth. I think people are waking up to that. That's why I would argue we don't have a system anymore. I mean, we do not have a system. I mean, anybody with half a brain sees how corrupt it is. So look, if we don't have a system and we don't have justice, why would Americans or people follow the rules anymore? And the answer is they're not going to. They're not going to follow the rules. So we have chaos. We have, people don't like when I use the term anarchy, but we've got a form of that. So there are no rules. That's what the bankers are telling us. Or rather, there's a set of rules for us, the peasants. There's no rules for them.
There's a slight difference in what anarchy means, Chris. It's not no rules. It's no rulers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anarcho-syndicalistic societies, you know, just be like a group of people would run a company together, you know. Everybody would be on the same level. We were talking to a guy from South Africa the other day, and he said that there were like three white guys on the work site and 48 black guys. Nobody called them boss. Nobody said anything like that, because on the construction site, they're one unit, they're one family, and they need to look out for each other to make sure there's no accidents and that kind of stuff. And I see that the human spirit is naturally attuned to doing like that, working in a collaborative way. And this is what I think people have forgotten a lot about capitalism and what it was actually really good about it, and why we haven't had it for the last 100-something years, is that it actually allows people to collaborate without impinging on other people by the morals of competition. Morals of competition declare that sabotage is a good thing, because it disallows your opponents to compete with you. Hence, you get more market share. That's competition. No, it's about making something better, usually making something better together, that creates good products and decent stuff that gets out there that people really enjoy. And people need to recognize this, that you do not participate in capitalism when you go into your Walmart and buy a cheap Chinese product made by some slave in China. That is not competing. That is not participating in capitalism whatsoever. That's participating in tyranny. That's voting for it with your dollars. That's accepting inferiority. That's promoting stuff that has lead paint on it and mercury in it and all of that kind of thing. You're promoting living and breathing poisons, both of the mind, of the soul, and of the body 24/7. It's not capitalism in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Indeed. Christopher Green is my guest. One more segment with him. And in the second hour, and I just had confirmation now, we're going to have Max Egan. He's a freaking legend. So, yeah. Coming up after the break, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Witnesses, first responders, and others tell the story the NTSB and the FBI hope to cover up. The documentary film, Wellstone, They Killed Him, examines the killer's motives, means, and opportunity. Who was Senator Paul Wellstone, and why would anyone want to kill him? High on the motive list is that the populist Minnesota senator, one of 23 who voted against the Iraq War in 2002, was sticking his nose into 9/11. Wellstone intimates say he was asking too many questions, that he wanted to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11, and thus was publicly executed as a warning. Watch the preview at WellstoneTheyKilledHim.com. A portion of the sales goes to fund a public investigation. Order a DVD for just $20. Help support our future projects. We document what the corporate and quote-unquote left media ignore. chemtrails, weaponized mycoplasma, the IVAW, Bilderbergs, cyanine, and the neo-Malthusian depopulation assault on humanity. Visit snowshoefilms.com or go to AFR's homepage and click the Snowshoe Films banner.
Who is Ron Paul? He's a veteran who's passionate about bringing our troops home from Iraq and is for a humble foreign policy. Congressman Paul is committed to securing America's borders. He's dedicated to lowering taxes and less federal spending. Ron Paul is for personal freedoms and is guided by the Constitution. Ron Paul is hope for America.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Is this dude serious? Fiscal conservative? Really? Santorum voted to raise the debt ceiling 5 times, doubled the size of the Department of Education, then supported the biggest entitlement expansion since the 60s. Not Ruby. Santorum voted to send billions of our tax dollars to dictators in North Korea and Egypt, and even hooked Planned Parenthood up with a few million bucks. Rick Santorum, a fiscal conservative? Fake.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them. Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Greater X on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people that keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The show that there is no escape from. Oh, yes, it's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live in that fabulously little fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chain nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And even though it's starting to get into winter time, hey, it's the weather's fine, you know? Which is strange, because the summer was Shiite Muslim. We had the worst summer, like, verge on in recorded memory, as far as I'm concerned. it was just nuts. Really lame. And of course, as a conspiracy theorist, first thing that you come up with is a theory about why the weather's gone so crappy and haywire. And you go, well, it could be HAARP, it could be chemtrails, it could be, you know, or it could just be the sun going through one of its many, 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 many cycles. You know, I don't know. But there seems to be some wild weather happening in the States right now, eh? And it hasn't been happening for a long time. It's like all I hear about in the state is like Hurricane Katrina, this giant blizzard that blocks off half the freeways in the Midwest, that. You know, it's just like, what the hell is going on, man? 900 tornadoes touched down this morning, this. You know, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what we had in Texas a few days ago, Vinny. I mean, that was no joke, those tractor trailers and semi-trucks. I mean, I'm not sure if you caught that footage. I'm sure you did.
I saw it, you know, it was broadcast on New Zealand News, man. When you see a friggin' semi-truck flying through the air like it was a box of matches, it's pretty insane, man.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, it seems like it happens more often now. That's what we were talking on our program last Tuesday, but it just seems like we're getting more of these crazy weather events like you're talking about. I don't know if it's just a function of technology that we can report on it, or if it's, you know, a function of something else.
Well, you know, who cares, really? As long as I'm not dead in a tornado, it'll be sweet. Yeah. But at least the footage was cool to look at. I don't know. What's the appropriate response, I wonder? People are dying. Bad stuff's happening all over the time. And people get really angry at me for making fun of it and making light of it and whatever. And I say, what else can I do? Otherwise, I'll just go all miserable and such.
Well, yeah, I think you got a point there, too. I mean, it's not funny, but how do you not laugh at this stuff, you know, at times? I mean, I've got friends, you know, they're firefighters, and they've got to deal with all these incredible horrors on a daily basis, you know, picking up bodies after car accidents and whatnot. The only way they can really deal with it is to laugh at it and kind of joke around it. I mean, if you didn't joke around some of this stuff, you'd probably be pretty miserable, you know?
Yeah, the seriousness would just kind of hit you. And I think it does, you know, for a lot of people when they first wake up. When I first woke up, you know, it was like tremors of rage and fear and sorrow, like coursing through every single part of my body. You know, it was like I was trembling or something in this sort of psychologically paralytic state of just sheer amazement and horror at the reality of things. And eventually, you know, you've got to get on with your life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what people forget. Just because you're fighting the New World Order and stuff like that doesn't mean you don't have a life, you know? Everybody's got one. And sometimes it's separating a job, you know, and I feel that fighting the New World Order is a respectable form of self-employment. If you're doing your job, you got to recognize how to separate it from your home life, out of your social life as well, because you need to have multiple networks of support in your life. So if one falls over, you've still got these other things to fill up. You know, you've got good contacts with friends, you've got good contacts with family, you've got your volunteer work, and you've also got your real work. So you've got still three parts of support if anything of those goes wrong.
Yeah,
and that's how you maintain some kind of balance.
Sure. You've got the strengthening of communities, too, which I see as a really big positive, where, you know, people are looking towards their neighbors, you know, as like-minded people, and just let's work together, you know? You know, everybody's kind of in this together anyways. We know who the common enemy is, so let's work together. I mean, hey, we can change things if we, you know, opt out of the system and just live a different way. Like you said, we can vote with our dollars. And, you know, if we're still endorsing the banks and using their credit cards and debit cards, well, you're voting for tyranny. If you decide not to, you're voting for freedom. So it's really as easy as that. It's a lifestyle change. If we do that, I think we're seeing this, but I think great things can come from it.
Now, that's the truth, Chris. The one piece of paper that you put in every 4 years is worth less than the pieces of paper that you keep taking out of your wallet every day in terms of how the country gets run.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And that's something you can control on a daily basis. You know, you can withdraw your support from those organizations, institutions, and companies that you don't believe in, or you believe there's something fundamentally wrong with what they're doing, and you can vote elsewhere. It's as easy as that. I mean, let there be competition, like we were talking about before the break. Let there be true capitalism and let the cards fall where they fall. And if we're to do that, if we really were to do that, every major financial institution in the country would not exist anymore. The only way they're still here, the only reason why, is because they bailed them out. That's not capitalism. These banks would not exist unless it, you know, was for our leaders propping them up on our backs. So let the companies fail. Let the system fail. It's the system. It's not just the banks. It's the entire system is corrupted. It's diseased. Let it fail and let the competing systems emerge and, you know, let the people decide what those are.
Okay, I mean, the capitalist system can be described in five simple words. Chips fall where they may.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you go broke because you've made bad decisions, so your business goes under, hopefully you've learned from those mistakes. And also, your peers are going, hey, look, Bob over here just got his ass kicked. His business went broke. I don't want to make that same mistake. Again, the weak don't survive. Only the strong do in that kind of environment. And that's what would have happened in 2008. If we would have let capitalism take root, the strong would have picked up the pieces of the insolvent and the bankrupt. And the insolvent and the bankrupt are JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Those are horribly run institutions. That's why they went to zero in 2008, because they've been grossly mismanaged by their leadership. Let the solvent clean up the pieces. That's capitalism.
And that's also how assassins do it as well, with a bathtub and of course, lots of solvents. Will you see that movie Assassin with Bridget Fonda? It's a great movie. But anyway.
Yeah.
Man, happy Easter, Chris.
Happy Easter, Vinny.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, it's good, man, to be coming up to a solstice once again. And I think it's time to spend some quality time with some families and friends and loved ones and what have you, to feast on certain things, don't you think?
Yeah, I think my advice would be, I think you're right, and I think we need to, you know, take some time with your family. You forget about some of this stuff, but also I would say stay on your toes, because, you know, over the holidays, this is when they're going to throw that curveball. I'm reading here, I was talking about this today, we're expecting an event, expect a shock, and just more fear-mongering by the U.S. government, says U.S. officials debate virulence of Iran-backed terrorist threat. This is from Reuters. And basically, they're saying that we've got Iranian and Hezbollah terrorists here in the United States. So, you know, stay on your toes, because, like I said in our video earlier, I mean, bomb goes off, something gets blown up, we're suddenly in a conflict with Iran. It wasn't out of the blue. That's the intent, and we know who to blame. We get that false flag event, we know who to blame. And I hate to say it, but the person, entity we need to blame is our government, is our leadership, is this country. And as long as we allow these evil people to maintain their control and power, we've got problems. We've got problems. Again, these people are evil. So vote with your wallets and vote with your actions and vote with your lifestyle, and do not support these types of entities, organizations, or institutions or people that continue to hurt you. They continue to throw millions of people on the streets. They continue to bail out their crony friends that fail to prosecute people like John Corzine. Don't do it.
Yeah. People ask, you know, what can I do? What can I do about this? As if it's a rhetorical question, you know, so they give up. It's like, what can I do about it? You know, I'm going to go along with my normal life. And I said, well, actually, there's an answer to that question. Anything you can. Have a look at anything that the elite are doing, and then do the direct opposite. It's pretty simple.
Easy solution, Vinny.
Yeah, the most complicated problems always have the simplest solutions, don't you think? You know, like, for example, this derivatives crisis. Hugely, massive, complicated problem. Hey, wait, hold on a second. At its base roots, all that money was made up, wasn't it? Out of thin air. So why don't we just pretend that it doesn't exist? Forgive all the debt. Problem solved. With as much imagination as it took to create it.
That's the truth. It's fake, Vinny, so they could get rid of it if they wanted to. They're going to do it anyways, but they're going to bankrupt you first.
Yeah. I say we cut them to the chase. To the chase Manhattan, of course.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah. All right, hitting them off at the pass. Hard-hitting and in-your-face America, Christopher Green, as serious as a nosebleed. Thank you very much for coming on the show with us today, bro.
Hey, Vinny, thanks for coming on our program. I always love having you on. So make sure to send me the archive show. We'll get it up on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It shall be done. All right. And ladies and gentlemen, next hour, we have Max Egan joining in us live from Aussie. So don't you go anywhere. Back in a few minutes. Tell people about it as well.
We'll be right back. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What do we hear about in this country? It's our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
unity.
It's hour number two of the Finney Ace Wood Show. Show that's all about unity and scumbaggery. Broadcast live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also want to mention, me and Christopher Green have both noticed this, that our listeners have kind of, when you're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the stream, what happens is how some networks have got like really good show hosts, and the person on after them is kind of, you know, a bit kind of lame, and you sort of turn it off, that kind of thing. It doesn't happen at American Freedom Radio. It's consistently really wacky, wicked, awesome in its own way show every single time. It's really awesome, and I beg everybody, you know, listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show, and don't just listen to me. Listen to the people before me, the people after me. Have a look at the archives that are available there, even past and present shows. There really is a lot available there, and it's all thanks to Danny Romero, who, well, just has an eye for talent, gave me my show and everything. So thank you very much, Danny. And we have somebody else who's remarkably talented as well, who's basically like the Uber figure who nobody... Everybody knows his name. Nobody knows his face. It's Max Egan from Australia. Welcome, Shabar.
Hey, Vinny. Nice to be on the show again, brother.
Mm-mm. You know what made me want to have you on again, mate?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll have to show my face someday, but yeah, it's kind of a game I'm playing, so I'm kind of winning at the moment. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I decided to have you on today because I was watching the news on... I think it was on TV3 News, and they mentioned Chappelle Corby and how she's been going through some real hard, traumatic mental problems and whatever, and they want to, you know, perhaps reduce her sentence. And in Indonesia, this only happens when the person admits to guilt, which Chappelle has never admitted. But guess how they referred to Chappelle Corby?
Oh, convicted drug smuggler, Chappelle Corby?
Yes!
Yeah, of course, yeah, mind control. They always do it. They always. It's just, you know, neuro-linguistic programming. That's all it is. They want you to make that association. I mean, the unfortunate news about that is that the clemency has been on the table with the president of Indonesia for actually over a year now, and they're just bringing it up and making it all public now because of all the stuff that's coming out with the Expendable Project. There's been a new report put on the Expendable Project website that basically blows the whole thing open. It shows that the Australian Federal Police know she's innocent. They've known she's innocent since 2005. They've just never done anything about it. And, you know, there were people who admitted to being the ones who smuggled the drugs. And the Expendable TV, the film Expendable, has absolutely got to so many people. There's been huge campaigns to hand this film out to everybody. I've burnt literally hundreds and hundreds of copies and handed this disc out to people. And I know that other people around the country are. So, you know, you've got this stony silence from the mainstream media. Not a word mentioned about all of this evidence that's come out from the Expendable website, which proves her innocence, which shows the guilt of the politicians and the complicity of the Australian Federal Police. The website itself is being totally looked into and gone through with a fine-tooth comb by the New South Wales Crime Commission and the Federal Police. It's all there in the records and the logs of the website. You can see who's scouring the site looking for information. And we've got stony silence coming from the media, and then suddenly we have this big news report about clemency for Chappelle, which has actually been on the table for a year. But they're bringing it out now to try to, you know, detract people, you know, let them think that, you know, you don't have to worry about it, it's all being taken care of, you know. I mean, Chappelle's in a really bad way. I don't even think she knows about the Expendable Project. She's just in a very, very bad way in the cells there. She's on medication all the time. She's been locked up there for 8 years now.
See, that medication will kill her just as bad as the environment will.
Yeah, well, that's what they want. I mean, they'd love it if she just sort of died in there and just the whole thing went away. I mean, that would be the ultimate goal for them, you know what I mean? So what we have to do is keep the pressure on, keep spreading this film, keep sharing the website, expendable.tv, and get the word out to everybody, because just the fact that they've brought this clemency out and they've made it all public like this now shows that they're running scared. They're absolutely terrified of the...
The timing of it suggests no other cause.
Absolutely, mate. It's damage control. That's all it is. Nothing more.
So, hold on a second. This means that we got him on the ropes. So just keep pushing.
Absolutely keep pushing. I mean, everything they're doing, Vinny, the legislation they've just brought in New Zealand, the search and surveillance bill and all that, I mean, they're doing this. These are defensive moves. You know what I'm saying? Because the truth's getting so out there to people. So they're freaking out and they're trying to lock everything down. And the quicker they lock it all down, they're making mistakes. They're waking more people up because now the people who didn't even believe there was a problem are seeing things like this bill get brought in and they're going, well, hang on a minute. Didn't we fight a world war to prevent our governments bringing in bills like this? Wasn't that what they were doing in Germany? You know,
don't you think it's like the failure of Fabian socialism is that once it gets to the point where it starts to be exposed, it stops becoming Fabian and starts becoming fascist and straight in your face. And a fascist only gets exposed when it starts acting like one.
Exactly. And so that's what's going on, which is causing a lot of people to wake up. And it's going to happen. I mean, the more negative they make it, the more people are going to wake up because that's just the way it works. And they're running scared, mate. The amount of legislation they've brought in and the fact of them bringing all this Chappelle clemency thing up. And I mean, they're scared. They're terrified of the amount of people that are waking up to what's going on. And, you know, the expendable, the stony silence of the media is phenomenal. The silence is deafening, you know, because the information that's come out through expendable.tv and the reports that they've issued on the website, all the emails and the correspondence between the police stations, everything, it shows that the whole thing was a scam. You know, they withheld so much information from the trial and they ensured that she was convicted. It shows the media complicity. It shows everything. And there's absolute stony silence. I mean, this information is huge. And it's not being reported at all on the mainstream media. Not one single word. All we hear is this plea for clemency, this suggestion that clemency's now been put on the table, she's going to be saved. Well, guess what, folks? It's been on the table for a year, and she's still in there. So don't think that this is going to change anything and keep the pressure up.
Yeah, exactly. They try to appease us, you know. It's like, oh, we'll just give you a little bit of a scrap from the table, but we'll still be here, you know, with all the big hams and juicy turkeys for ourselves, you know. These people are greedy. What are they greedy for in this particular case, Max? I mean, is Australia basically just kind of offering up this girl as a sacrifice to maintain good relations with the most populous Muslim nation in the world, Indonesia?
Well, basically what it was all about was to cover up the drug smuggling that happened at the airport. See, that's the thing with the whole Chappelle Corby case. If Chappelle's innocent, it isn't, you know, you can't really blame the Indonesian government. You don't know that their policy is to impose hideous sentences upon people who bring drugs into their country. That's just what they do. So you don't take drugs into the country, and you wouldn't take drugs into the country, especially drugs that are worth 10 times as much here as what they are there. So the issue is, how did the drugs, if they even are Chappelle's, and if they weren't Chappelle's, what were they doing in her luggage? Where did that come from? So that indicates that there's drug smuggling that goes on at Australian airports, and the Australian Federal Police are heavily involved in Australian airports. Sydney Airport's run by Macquarie Bank. You know, that's who owns Sydney Airport. So you've got all of these interests that don't want
to know. That's a good ability to money launder, don't you think, having a bank on the action?
You think? They own the airport, mate. So, you know, you've got all of these interests that don't want the people of Australia to know that there's all of this stuff going on behind the scenes in the airports, because there is. I mean, there was recent reports came out in the Sun Herald of the customs officers being accused of drug smuggling in Australian airports. I mean, it's
the price of marijuana alone, like let's say, 4.5 kilos or something like that, was worth like $40,000 in Australia, and yet she was taking it to Indonesia where it was worth $8,000.
Yeah, or even less. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So, see, that's the problem. See, it wasn't that she was a sacrificial lamb. It's just that they needed. This drugs had gotten through. So they just, whoops, it's in her bag. Okay, we'll let her hang for it, because otherwise we have to admit that it was ours, and that's going to cause an investigation into the baggage handlers and Sydney Airport, Brisbane Airport, the whole aircraft system. Oh, my God, our airports aren't secure. We're in a post-9/11 world where we've spent all this money supposedly securing our airports, and we screen our passengers to put the citizens through hell, and here we are having kilos and kilos of drugs shipped around the country.
Yeah, you know, realizing, Max, that there's no defense against an inside job.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's why Chappelle was found guilty, and that's why the government has always washed their hands of it. That's why there was such an effort undertaken to smear the entire family, to make it guilt by association. Even if her father was a pot smoker or whatever they claim he was, which everybody says he wasn't, you know, if you speak to anybody from the family, they all say, no, none of this is true. And you'll find that there's no drug charges against any of these people. And yet if you speak to anybody on the street, anywhere within 100 miles of the Gold Coast, you start talking to this about it, you know what they say? They say, oh, look, I knew him. And they were always into smoking pot. I go, oh, really? You know, they must have known everybody. Gee, the Chappelle, the Corby family must have known everybody in southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales who lived within a 100-mile radius of their house. They must have been the most popular people on the planet because everybody you speak to says, I knew them, you know? And you think, yeah, right, of course you do, mate. Of course you do, you know? It's unbelievable, mate, just the mind control people are under. You know, but there's charges. No charges ever been brought against any of the family. So there was all of this smear campaign undertaken. But even if he was a pot smoker or whatever he was, what's that got to do with her? You know, my father was an air traffic controller who was a World War I pilot. Like, should I be guilty of bombing Japan because my father was a World War II pilot? You know, I mean, how does it fit in? You know, whatever my father did, it's got nothing to do with me. And it's the same with Chappelle Corby. Whatever her father's into, whatever her sister's into, whatever anybody that isn't her is into, it isn't anything to do with her. You know, that's people have this guilt by association thing. And, you know, when a smear campaign is undertaken, if it's a good enough smear campaign on the rest of the family, it's just guilt by association and they write her off. I mean, Australians are terrible like that. They'll always go into bat for the underdog, but they'll always be very, very prepared to hack down the tall poppy. So you think about that. They'll go into bat for the underdog until he makes it, then they want to hack down the tall poppy. It's tall poppy syndrome, you know. It's a bizarre culture.
It's a crab in a bucket syndrome, you know. All the crabs, if they work together, you know, they'll be able to get out. But instead, anytime one guy gets near the edge, the others try to climb up him and just claw him down, and then they're all stuck again.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? That's a very good description of our whole society, really.
And these judges that they've got judging Chappelle Corby, you know, wasn't he like had like 400 cases in front of him, and every single one of them he found the person guilty?
Yeah, absolutely. There was three judges there as well, but I mean the whole thing was a setup. It really, really was. It was a show trial. You know, they'd already smeared her and done everything they could to ensure she was convicted, and it was an absolute show trial. And because she didn't plead guilty, it was why she got 20 years. I mean, there's been people who've gone in there. One guy got caught with 161 kilos of pot. He was an Indonesian guy. Got caught with 161 kilos of pot. He got 5 years in jail, right? She had 4.2 kilos, and she got 20 years, you know, because she didn't plead guilty. And she still says, you know, she won't plead guilty because she isn't guilty, you know? That's the thing. You know, if she gets released without pleading guilty, then they're going to owe her so much because they've taken 8 years of her life away from her. They've taken 8 years of the life of an innocent woman. And how do you compensate for that? They've taken this woman off the street and they've locked her into a cell and turned her insane. How do you compensate for that? For a crime
she can't have
commit.
Children. She can't have children, you know, or have a life, you know. I mean, this is what these people are doing to her.
She'll never have a life again. Even if she gets out, she'll never have a life. She'll be Chappelle Corby. Everyone's going to want to talk to her. No one's going to leave her alone. You know, and apart from that, she's now suffering severe mental illness because she's been locked in a tiny little cell in a jail that's designed to hold 300 people that has over 1,000 inmates. She's in there for a crime she did not commit. She's been in there for 8 years. She's now clinically insane on medication. Doesn't know what's going on in the world, what's going on with herself. And, you know, how do you compensate that, you know? She's not even mentally competent to plead guilty now. You know, how can she wouldn't even know what she was saying. So how can she now offer her plea or change her plea to guilty when she's not, you know, she's been diagnosed as clinically insane, you know? So I mean, this is what happens to you when you lock an innocent person up for so long for a crime they didn't commit. And the way she's just been forgotten, and you know, the way the media is now presenting this whole clemency thing to try to take the heat off themselves, it's just disgusting, mate. It's absolutely disgusting. It makes me ashamed to be an Australian, to be honest, to see the sort of thing going on. It's be one of the biggest shames our country ever has to face, I think, the Schapelle Corby case.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes me ashamed to be called an Australian as well.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of shame in this country. We've got what's been done to the original inhabitants of this country. What was done in East Timor, how we supported the Indonesian invasion of Timor all those years ago. And the whole world just jumped on the money train with that as well. America, England, everybody just jumped in to sell arms straight away. You know, the death of so many people. And we've got a lot of blood on
it. It was full-on genocide in there. You know, I heard that they were ripping cables out of the walls of people's houses so that they couldn't repair any of their villages. They wouldn't have any cables. They wouldn't have any electricity. They wouldn't have had any infrastructure or anything like that to just completely destroy it.
Oh, it was shocking, mate. They burnt the place out and they starved people out. And when they came down for food, they'd shoot them all. It was absolutely shocking, mate. It was absolutely genocide. It was completely supported by the West, the whole lot. And, we got a lot of blood on our hands. And to think that we've maybe risen above that and then to see something like the Schapelle Corby case happen right in front of your eyes and to see the effort that was gone to by the so-called authorities, you know, the so-called good guys to incarcerate her in the media. I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah. Well, it's the problem with being a good, decent person is you start to see real bad stuff a lot more clearly, and it angers you a lot more than if you were just morally relativistic and you thought that there wasn't an objective what's right and what's wrong. And what's happening to Schapelle Corby is really wrong. We all got to do what's right to save it. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of bark. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts. Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis? No problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education? Gone. Interior? Energy? HUD? Commerce? Gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul. Do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Ron Paul,
A visionary who predicted the financial crisis. A leader with a plan to solve it. The Paul Plan? Balance the budget. Cut $1 trillion year one. Eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. End the foreign wars and nation building. Rein in the Federal Reserve. Pay down the debt. Cut taxes to create jobs. Ron Paul, a plan to restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices dip below $1,625 Wednesday on profit-taking, firmer dollar. Gold last traded at $1,620 an ounce, silver $3,136. Gold advocate and mining entrepreneur Jim Sinclair tonight tells King World News that gold is becoming an ever-tightly coiled spring, that its snapping release will be wondrous. Truth is, a growing number of analysts, investment and hedge fund managers, commentators, and other financial markets are now coming to the same conclusion. Gold and silver markets are being suppressed by the government. This, of course, is what GATA organization has said now for well over a decade. The best place to review the scorecard of experts that come to this conclusion is to visit GATA.org. So how much of a drop in the stock market will it take before the central bank comes to the rescue? Ask CNBC. And the world goes round. Get more at SwissAmerica.com and the hidden risks of ETFs. Get your Vote Gold 2012 kit. Call 800-289-2646 at SwissAmerica.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bill Hicks there. If you have not heard of Bill Hicks or if you haven't listened to his comedy sketches or anything like that, I highly recommend you do. He's an instrumental wake-up tool, along with the works of George Carlin and various other comedians. Lewis Black, I think we can probably throw in there as well. You know, having a good laugh about some of these terrible things that go on and that kind of thing, and trying to stand, you know, for freedom, truth, and justice and all that kind of thing amidst such scumbaggery is a true testament to how strong the human spirit truly is and how hard it is to break at the end of the day. And never place faith in other people so much as you would place faith in yourself, because everybody's just as strong as each other, you know, and if one person can do it, you can too. Have faith in yourself, and you'll do a hell of a lot more than you ever thought you could. Like Max Egan, my very fabulous guest, who has a lot of faith in himself.
Well, you have to, Vinny. You absolutely have to, and you're absolutely right with everything you said there. I mean, and that's why I've sort of done what I've done, and I've often said to people, I'm living proof that you don't have to be somebody, in inverted commas, in order to be heard, to have a voice. All you have to do is be prepared to speak, because I'm just a nobody, I'm just Max, you know, but I'm prepared to speak out, and I'm prepared to be the change that I want to see in the world, and that's the way I live my life. And it's worked for me. So I'm living proof that it does actually work if you can put yourself in the right energetic state. But people are trained not to have faith in themselves. They're given all these yardsticks to measure themselves up by. You know, you've got to be the way we tell you you have to be on the television or the mainstream media. We provide these images of what you should look like and how you should act and whether you're cool or whether you're cute or whatever it is. You know, you've got to be like this or you're a lesser person. And so don't perceive ourselves to be what we are. We measure ourselves up to all these things that we're given, you know, but by doing that, we miss out on ourselves. We miss out on discovering who we are. We miss out on the power that we all inherently have, because we're all incredibly powerful. And we're just trained to believe we're not, and we're trained to remain compliant to a system which really doesn't serve our best interests at all. So it's very clever the way they've done it. But I think if people can just sort of step back from it and really look at themselves for what they are and look at other people around them, I think it's so important to look at the people around you and see yourself in these people. Look to the essence of them, that spark of sentience within every person that makes them a human being, and realize that that's exactly the same as the spark that exists within you. And, you know, when you can see people in that light, you can absolutely change your perspective of reality. Everything changes at that point. And you begin to treat people differently, and you begin to treat reality differently, and you begin to see how easy it would be to change everything, to change the whole situation we're facing, if we simply change their perspective, you know?
Because when you treat people differently and you treat reality differently, the same happens. You know, I found, Max, it's amazing. I tell people who I am and what I'm doing, and the generosity and the acceptance they suddenly have for who I am and what I do, just instantly, boom, it's all right there. Because they've seen what I've, because they've heard even after a few seconds what I've already done, you know, and that's the good thing, because people recognize and are happy to partake in doing the right thing. Okay, so that speaks well of us.
Well, your people are basically good, but we're trained to believe that people are basically bad. And you know, the system tells you that, you know, that you know, everyone's out to get you. And there's a sucker born every minute that you can take advantage of. So this is the kind of attitudes that we're promoted as having, you know. See, our whole society, our whole education system, our whole social structure, corporate structure, business structure, political structure is all designed to breed sociopathic people who always see personal acquisition as the meaning of life, and they always acquire this stuff that they acquire at the expense of everybody else around them and at the expense of the planet they live on. And they're trained to be that way. And that's the exact opposite of what people are. People are naturally caring and nurturing and loving. If you leave them to their own devices, they just want to help each other and get along with each other and smile and kick back, you know.
But we're trying. You can break down. Your car can break down in any road in any country in the world. You can be guaranteed anybody who's nearby, if you approach them for help, they'll probably help you. You know,
absolutely, absolutely. People and we are want naturally some, caring and nurturing.
And we want some people to actually call in on this. If you'd actually had an experience where somebody's done something nice for you, just, you know, just because. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Tell us what you're getting up to this Easter weekend. And I don't know, what are you getting up to this Easter weekend, Max? Apparently there's some big jazz festival coming on. There's going to be like an extra 70,000 people in town.
Oh, Blues Festival, Byron Blues Festival started yesterday. It goes for 5 days. Mega. I mean, we've got Cold Chisel, famous Australian band, playing there. We've got G3, which is Joe Satriani and Steve Vai. We've got the John Butler Trio. I mean, everybody. Yes, are actually playing there. You know, Crosby, Stills, Nash. I mean, like everybody. It's a 5-day Blues Festival, bands that you've probably always wanted to see but never got a chance to see. Donovan's playing. I mean, everybody's playing, you know. So, yeah, and there'll be usually you get an extra 70,000 people around town at that time. Fortunately, they've moved the festival about 10 kilometres away from the town that I live in now. Up to 2 years ago, it used to be actually held in the paddock next door to my little cabin.
Oh, my God.
Which was pretty wild, you know, and we used to have thousands of people come wandering through the yard, and it's just out of control. So it's kind of good that they've moved it out of town a little bit. But that's what's going on here. I don't know whether I'll be going, but there's only really a couple of bands I want to see, and I can't really justify the cost of going in just to see a couple of bands. But it'll be raining. Everyone will have their gumboots on. They'll be walking through paddocks and huge fields of mud, like they are every Easter in Byron Bay, and it'll be fun for lots of people.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go to our first caller then. Tim in Wisconsin, welcome to the program. What are you doing this Easter?
I just started to make something to eat. The thing that they only was able to think of to say that they felt like wanting to say is that besides all the good points that that Max, you know, also brought up, another one of his shows that I liked on, I'm quite sure, was on American Voice Radio, was his show about fracking. I thought that was a good one, and after, you know, hearing him do that show, I just really couldn't help, you know, feeling too that that's something that's also really important for everybody to help, you know, get stopped.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fracking is one of the most important issues that we face. It's one of the most important problems that we face. Fracking is absolutely destroying the water table. And it all comes down to Agenda 21, really. I mean, we don't need the gas. We don't need that for energy. There's all sorts of energy devices, wind devices, solar devices. The energy device that Justin Hall Tipping demonstrated at TED Talks, a carbon energy device. I mean, there's so many ways we can get energy. We don't need the gas. So it's not being done for the gas. It's being done to destroy the water table, to force people into concentrated pockets of civilization, Agenda 21. This is exactly what they're doing, and that's exactly what it's all about. It's a huge issue, and it's a global issue. And in many ways, I see it as a gift because it is, yeah, it's an issue that will unite humanity. It absolutely will, because water is the most precious resource we have on this planet. And when people suddenly realize, when it really dawns on them that the government and the banksters are prepared to trash the water table, in order to support a fictional economy, then I think the penny will drop with a lot of people. You know, we can't destroy our water simply to balance the books. It doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, it just doesn't hold water.
Well, nothing will hold water when they finish, mate, especially the earth. Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, we had these people they're starting to do fracking now in New Zealand. They've already begun down Taranaki, right? And down in the south near Christchurch, where all this earthquake stuff's been happening as well, they're going to start doing fracking there too and contaminate their massive streams and waterways. And it's just like people are saying, well, oh my God, they're so greedy. They want the money. They don't want the money. They want you out of there.
Exactly. It's not about the money. The money's fiction. They just make it up. I mean, it's just stuff we made up. It's not about money. It's about the water table. That's what fracking's doing. See, the important thing for people to understand here is that we don't need the gas. There are a myriad of alternative energy systems that we could use. We do not need the gas. So why are they doing it? What is the result of them doing it? Well, it's destroying the aquifers, so that's why they're doing it. That's all the only reason they're doing it, because we don't need the gas, you know. So people need to really get that to sink into their heads. You know, all of these people living in country areas and rural areas, you're not going to have a water table beneath your ground if you don't stop the government fracking, because it's destroying the water table. That's it. That's a given. It's a no-brainer that that's what it's doing. And this is why they went into Libya. That's the biggest aquifer in the world. You know, they want to take control of water and then destroy that which they don't control so that no one else can have any, you know?
Yeah,
it's all about business. It's an industry, the human industry, you know?
I can drive as far as I want and I'm rich as all hell, but I can't buy any food and I can't get any water and I can't breathe the air.
Yeah, wonderful future. Unless you live in one of these big concentrated cities that they're doing. Did you see the film The Hunger Games?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is Agenda 21. That is absolutely Agenda 21. You've got these mega cities connected by monorails. Nature's taken back all the rest of the country. And you've got people living in mining regions and fishing regions who live in abject poverty, who have to basically forfeit one of their children if they ask for any extra food. You know what I mean? So food is totally rationed out to these people. And, yeah, it's absolutely Agenda 21. And that's where they're going. Yeah, and they create a world where you'll have to do what you're told, because they have to bring you water and stuff, because you're not going to be able to have any water where you are. You're going to be living in a cesspool. You know, they're turning the whole place into an open-cut mine, really. Anywhere that isn't city or isn't nature that they can regenerate so they can exploit later, then the rest of it will be mined, and that's the only place people will be in the mega cities will be in the mining or fishing or industry regions. And these people will be living in abject poverty. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly where they're heading. And I'm amazed, actually, that they put it all in that film. But that's Agenda 21.
Oh, they have to tell you what they're going to do. It's part of their code, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it would seem that way very much, mate. It does help the ritual work a little bit better, but it's also predictive programming. And I thought it was interesting in that film that these people were required to offer up tributes because of the uprising. You know, the uprising. So they're looking at now. If you uprise now, if you rebel against the system now, this is what we're going to be doing to you 75 years from now. So interesting programming there.
Yeah, well, and the film is set several hundred years in the future. So what we're talking about here is an uprising that happens round about the time that we're living in, and a few hundred years later, that's what they're going to have been living like for the last few hundred years. Like, we're talking about that system being implemented very shortly, according to the timeline of the film.
Well, I mean, that's what they're doing now. That's what fracking's all about. It's about destroying the water table to create exactly that type of a situation. I mean, if you've got no water except in the big cities where they have recycled water and they have huge reservoirs maybe collecting from lakes or streams or rivers that are nearby or even desalination or whatever, as long as it's concentrated in that mega city, you know, you let the rest of the country come back, that's the only place you're going to get water. So what are you going to do? If you want to live in Byron Bay here and the water table's polluted, what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to live here. You can, but you won't live very long because you won't have any water to drink. And you need water. Water is the most valuable resource on this planet, you know. And yet they're destroying the water table to support an economy, you know, and they're driving people out of the country by doing it. And you see so many farmers selling their lands. They're all being bought by mining companies. So where's all the food going to come from?
So being bought by mining companies or Monsanto kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, you know, you're going to have to import food from other countries. So what they also do with this is they make it so that every country cannot sustain itself. Every country is dependent upon every other country. So no one can break away from the system. Because if you do, you won't have oil or you won't have food or you won't have water or you won't have whatever it is that you import from other countries via the medium of the United Nations. You know what I'm saying? You know, the common market and all this sort of stuff. This is all about controlling the flow of resources and making countries interdependent upon each other, okay? So that way no one can break out of the system. If you've got a country that's completely self-sufficient, you can't control that country. So they need to have every country dependent upon every other country. So the global government's already here. It's just consolidating itself. It's been here for a long time. It's just been hidden behind the scenes. And what's happening now is it's becoming more transparent. It's becoming more open in your face because they've got to the point now where they can't really consolidate anymore without it people seeing it, you know. So people are seeing it.
Oh yeah, the emperor truly wears no clothes. We can see his ding-a-ling. Call in, ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Last chance to call in over the break. Back in a minute.
Sean David Morton here to tell all of my fantastic fans and friends about one of the greatest conference gatherings of all time of your favorite New Age, New Thought, and radio personalities. The Alchemy event, starting at 8:30 a.m., April 28th to Sunday, April 29th. Come to the Alchemy event in West Los Angeles. Or if you can't join us all in person, you can have the fantastic opportunity to watch it on Global Stream Live online for a celebration of global peace and transformation, ET disclosure, prophecy, earth changes, ufology, metaphysics, consciousness, healing, and meditation. Join me for lunch with special guests Coast to Coast George Norrie, Project Camelot's Kerry Cassidy, Dr. Roger Lear, Michael Hercules Barra, Saeed David Farman, Dr. Louis Thierry, Sudi Burnett, and many, many more. Tickets on sale now. Register online at alchemyevent.com or click on AFR's homepage. That's alchemyevent.com. The Alchemy event in Los Angeles, California, April 28th and 29th. Don't you dare miss it. See you there.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-grow.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
What's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the future, from Chateau de Rothschild, nestled deep in the heart of Auckland City, New Zealand. We have a very special guest, who's the godfather of Australian conspiracy and transhumanism. It's Max Egan. Welcome back.
Nice to be back, Vinny. Interesting throat problem you've got happening there.
Thank you.
Okay. Speaking of transhumanism, it's one of the most interesting forms of ism. But not the stickiest kind. Is there, you've got a new film, right? But you're telling me over the break that you're worried about releasing it because it might freak people out.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of information in there that's a little bit unsettling for people. I mean, it's stuff that people need to know. And again, I see it all as opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, I just sort of wonder, you know, if people really know what's going on around the place. I mean, a lot of them might get a little bit nervous about the whole thing. So I'm kind of wondering about it. I've got it finished. I mean, I've got it all here. I've got the final render here sitting on my desktop. I watched it last night. And I could upload it today. But I've decided to leave it till April 15th. I want to also do a bonus disc so that people who do get it on DVD will get a bonus disc that goes with it, which will have a few further explanations that I was going to include in the film, but I left out because it was starting to get too long. The film is an hour and 37 minutes now, so it's the longest one that I've done. A little bit arty, but I'm kind of arty. That's what I like to do, you know. I mean, really, if you listen to a lot of the radio shows, a lot of the shows have had a lot of information packed into them, and each one of those radio shows I could have expanded into a film. And that's one of the reasons it's taken me this long to do the film, because every time I'd get an idea that I wanted to include in the film, I'd end up talking about it on the radio that week. And so that was the end of that. Already done that one, you know.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah, so, you know, the shows are there for all the information that I'm talking about and all that sort of stuff. So the film has been done more for me than anything, just because I like the artiness. I like creating titles. I like doing the credits. I like creating the music and piecing it all together and doing the editing and just creating the picture, you know. So the film has been sort of done for me more than anything. But it does contain some information that may freak a few people out. But, I mean, again, it's all important information. If you don't know what the problem is, then you can't address the problem. And all is not lost yet. We still have plenty of hope and we still have plenty of ways of fixing things. But we're not going to be able to fix them unless people know what the problem is. So that's what I've tried to do with the film. I mean, the first section of the film is basically just asking people to question things, question their reality, question the past, question how they got there. I mean, I ask a lot of questions in it. I'm not trying to answer the questions. I just think it's important for people to ask the questions. That's sometimes where the true enlightenment comes. It isn't from the answer. It's from the act of asking the question. You know, that activates the mind enough, the fact that the question exists. And then the second part of the film deals with the transhuman agenda and how it's being presented to the world. The third part of the film deals with how they are attempting to go about it and implement the transhumanist agenda. And the fourth part of the film basically tries to provide a bit of hope and show us what steps we can take to avoid going in the direction that they are attempting to take us into. And the whole transhumanist agenda, it all ties in with Agenda 21. It ties in with the cashless society, microchipping, the whole lot. I mean, it all fits together. The whole digital reality that they're, you know, everything that they're doing, it all ties together. The chemtrails, transhumanism, the fracking, everything, it all ties together into one thing when you step back and look at the picture. And when you do and you add all the dots and you just connect all the dots, you go, well, here's where we're going, here's what they're doing, and what can we do about it? That's the thing. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, so many people are distracted at the moment. People are distracted by everything that's going on around them. All these people are waiting, they're not doing anything because they perceive that all these mass arrests are going to happen soon. You've got other people that are sitting there waiting for the rapture, other people that are waiting for a big cataclysm at the end of the year, so they're not doing anything. You've got other people from the spiritual movement that are just kind of sitting around waiting for a shift to happen. No one's participating in reality around them. Everyone's waiting and everyone's trained to want to go to fifth dimension or want to go to heaven or wherever they're going and to ignore the reality that they're in right now. They go, oh, it's okay. Well, this reality is just turning to hell anyway. Well, it's only turning to hell because you're not participating in it. You know, if everyone was to participate in reality, start seeing everybody around them as valid and start standing up against this system, you know, realizing that it's fiction and they can stand up against it because it doesn't exist. It's just an idea. What exists is the people. And if we started supporting each other, we could take things in a completely different direction. So the more you fail to participate in the reality around you, the more it turns to hell and the more you want to go to heaven. But you know, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, people want to ascend,
people are waiting around. They're waiting around for this shift, right? And they say, oh, shift happens, so we're just going to wait for it. And I say, no, shift doesn't happen. It only happens when you get your shift together.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to participate. You've absolutely got to participate in reality around you. That's what people are failing to do. And you know, if you're in this state of love and this state of oneness and you're seeing the people around you as yourself, then why is there suffering in the world? And if there is suffering in the world, perhaps it's because you're failing to participate, to alleviate that suffering. Because if we're all each other, if we are literally all one, then even the bad guys are us, part of that same consciousness. They need love as much as anybody, even if they are psychopathic. You know, we can just allow them to be psychopaths by themselves. We don't have to participate in the reality that they create, you know. And they've created this reality because the psychopaths always maneuver themselves to the top of the food chain so they control everybody else. So we're all living within this psychopathic society, and it keeps us divided from each other and allows each of us to suffer under the weight of this society, and all we have to do is turn away from it. All we have to do is start participating in reality around us and seeing each other as valid. I mean, it always comes back to the same thing.
I was talking to a dude the other night, and I've had countless conversations like this where they tell me that they're in situations where they're living with crackheads or people who steal from them or assault them or things like that. And every single one of them, I tell them the same thing. Get out of there, okay? If you're in those negative situations, don't stay, because you're only going to wind up draining your energy trying to either get back at them or try and defend yourself against the inevitable coming onslaughts of scumbaggery, okay? Stop putting yourself in that situation. Find some people who actually care about you. Find some people you can actually be comfortable with. There's 7 billion people on the planet. They can't be that hard to find.
Well, exactly. You know, and a lot of it is the energy you're in as well, you know. You know, a lot of us are in a victim mentality, and so we attract people that treat us like victims, you know. And, you know, if you're in a victim mentality, you're going to get downtrodden, and you're going to have people that are going to treat you that way, you know. So you've got to lead by example. You've got to be in the energetic state, you know, the correct energetic state. You've got to realize that you attract things into your life because you need that information. But now, okay, you're in a violent situation, you're in a violent relationship, or you're living in a house where people are stealing off you and treating you like whatever, then, okay, well, now you know that exists. Now you know that these sort of people exist. Like you say, Vinny, move out, do something else. There are 7 billion people on the planet. Surely there's somewhere else to go. You know, and if your life isn't going the direction that you think it should be going, and you continue to do the things you've always done, well, then it's going to continue to not go in the direction you think it should be going. You know, it's only gone in that direction because of the things you've done that have led to that point, whether it's been your choice or not, whether you've just been tossed around like a leaf on the stream. It doesn't matter. It's still, you know, the choices and the directions that you have personally gone that have created that situation. So you need to change that. Change what you do. Change your perspective of reality. You know, step away from it. Do something else. You know, it's really not hard to do. I mean, I've done so many different things in my life and been in so many different situations. And, you know, looking back, I treasure every one of them, no matter how bad they were, because they all made me who I am now. And without that information, I couldn't be who I am now. So it all serves a purpose. It's what you do with that purpose. It's you know, if you're in that state where you are a victim, then that's an opportunity for you to change that, you know. But you have to participate. Again, you've got to participate. No one's going to come and save you. You have to participate in your own reality. And, you know, that's the microcosm, but put that on the macrocosm. As humanity as a whole, the world's going to hell in a handbasket because we're failing to participate in the reality around us. We're just obedient little drones. We do what we're told. Even if we're told to abuse our neighbours and throw people out of their houses and do stuff that doesn't serve humanity but only serves the system, we still do it because we're told to do it. We're just obedient little drones. We need to change that, you know, come into who and what we are.
Yeah. Got to stop making excuses, eh? And the last thing that I wanted to mention here is that people often come up with a lot of problems in their minds, and they think about those problems as an excuse or a reason to not do the things that they want to do. I can't do this because of such and such a reason or whatever. Stop doing that, okay? Trust me. It's much better to deal with consequences after you've actually done something than to think about the consequences and wind up doing nothing.
Well, again, it's yardsticks, Vinny. You know, people are given yardsticks. I'm going to be like this if I do this, or this is going to happen, because, you know, they don't act spontaneously. They don't follow their intuition. They operate within the parameters that society has set for them.
Yeah. Well, I think we can break free. You know, every single one of us that has woken up today, well, with the exception of a few like you, Max, was brainwashed once upon a time and now no longer is. And we're fighting and we're making something better happen. Okay? And that's despite the huge amount of brainwashing, huge amount of poisoning, we still woke up and we're still making a difference anyway. That's how strong we are, and that is how weak our masters truly are at the end of the day, and all we need to do is wake up and realize it and make it happen the way we want it to, the way it should. Thanks, Max, for coming on, mate, and you enjoy yourself a very, very happy Easter.
My pleasure. You too, Vic.